From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Rasha McChesney with this local and statewide news update. A Juneau man in his 50s died from COVID-19 over the weekend. City officials say it happened on Saturday at Bartlett Regional Hospital. So far, 9 Juneau residents and 1 non-resident who tested positive for COVID-19 in Juneau have died during the pandemic. State health officials say 95 more Juneau residents tested positive for the virus over the weekend. 5 people are currently being treated for the virus at Bartlett Regional Hospital. And the Juneau School District reports 2 more people who have tested positive and were infectious while at school, 1 at Riverbend Elementary, where 1 classroom is quarantined, and 1 at Sit E.T. Chinook Glacier Valley School, where 1 additional class has been quarantined. Statewide, 2,108 new people have tested positive for COVID-19 over the last 3 days. Most are residents, but 54 are visitors to the state. And the state also reported 5 new deaths, including 2 women from Anchorage, a man from Anchor Point, a man from Sitka, and a woman from Homer. A Juneau house was damaged in a recent flood caused by road improvements, but the current owners don't hold a grudge against construction crews, and they hope to move back in after the house is repaired. KTOO's Matt Miller has the story.
There's a sign in front of Pam Varney and Bob Funk's West Juneau house that reads, Heen Kuhit. Translated from Tlingit, it means creek house or house by the water. But for a few days, it was literally a house in the water. Dehumidifiers run on the second floor and a musty smell permeates the entire house when I visit. Varney leads me down to the first floor where the carpet squishes underfoot.
Oh, carpet is still wet.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Sopping.
Sopping wet, yeah. So this is our furnace room, and yeah, it's just stinky in here. It's just pretty bad.
Varney says she woke up before dawn September 2nd with water levels rising in the creek that runs just feet from the front door. The water completely covered a footbridge and flooded the house's first floor with more than 3 feet of water.
Our furnace, I believe, is toast. Our septic drain field is toast.
Some clothes and downstairs furniture, including a brand new bed, were all likely ruined with water and backed up sewage. But Varney is really worried about baby pictures that got soaked. She hopes they can be dried out and saved. So what happened? As part of the current improvements for the Douglas Highway, bridge, and roundabout, construction crews were installing an insulated liner for a culvert that allows the creek to run under the highway and empty into Gatineau Channel. They placed some pumps and created a couple of dams on the upstream side of the culvert so the liner could cure overnight in dry conditions. But heavy rain overwhelmed the pumps. Water spilled over the dams, filled up the culvert, and plugged it up. And that flooded the house and yard.
Sounds like you really don't have any animosity toward Seacon or subcontractors.
No, definitely not. It's just
I've made a lot of mistakes in my life. Maybe not quite that big, but, you know, you just move on.
It's
not like they were trying to do it.
Yeah, I don't think they realized just how much water comes down this creek. And when it really starts raining, you could hear the boulders going down.
Contractors brought in more pumps and dug up the road in front of the house. A pair of excavators rammed in steel pilings from the channel side to unplug the culvert. Insurance companies for both the couple and contractors are trying to figure out the damages. Julie Olson of the main contractor, Seacon, says it was an unfortunate incident and they're grateful no one was hurt.
They've just really been gracious and understanding, and, you know, they've said they don't blame us. They don't think it's our fault. I mean, although we don't really know at this point whose fault it is. They've just been nice, and we're very grateful for that.
Varney and Funk bought the greenhouse with red and white trim over 25 years ago, renovated it, and added a garage and efficiency apartment. It's set back a ways with trees and the creek masking highway traffic sounds. Days after the water receded, Varney and Funk were still piling up soaked personal belongings to haul to the dump. They'll need a new furnace and must now connect up to city sewer. The outside siding and the downstairs drywall and flooring all need to be ripped out.
It's nothing huge, you know, for contractor-type people. Big problem is finding somebody to do it right now. Everybody's busy as a cat in a litter box.
The couple are staying with friends and plan to find an apartment nearby while demolition and renovations are underway. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.
After just 6 months on the job, Bartlett Regional Hospital Chief Executive Officer Rose Lawhorn has resigned. Juneau City staff say she was having an inappropriate relationship with another hospital employee, which violates the city's conflict of interest code. Technically, Bartlett employees are city employees, and they're not allowed to have relationships with subordinates. Juneau City Manager Roy Watt said Lawhorn's relationship predates her time as CEO, but once she became CEO, someone told the city attorney about the relationship. Watt says the city wasn't aware of the relationship when Lawhorn was promoted.
Could this have been dealt with prior to promotion? It could have. So there could have been an accommodation made where we created some alternate reporting structure, but that didn't happen.
He says he's talked to her.
She's a long-term, really excellent employee of the hospital who's dedicated her whole career to providing good health care to the public. And she was willing to put herself forward to run the hospital in a pandemic. You know, this is really sad for all of us. She did a lot of good for the community, and she made a mistake.
At the same time, he says there isn't any wiggle room in city code for an employee who has a relationship with a subordinate, and he thinks that's important.
In the national media, you can find examples where inappropriate relationships, resulted very poorly for subordinate employees. And, you know, in this case, I believe the relationship was completely consensual. But I think it's a really important principle to uphold.
The hospital's board of directors held a special meeting on Saturday after Lawhorn resigned and ultimately decided to fire her. In her resignation letter, she said she could no longer serve as CEO and has enjoyed her time at the hospital. Lawhorn has been at the hospital since 1993. Before she accepted the CEO position, she held many positions, including as the emergency department director and the head of nursing. The hospital board has appointed Kathy Callahan as an interim CEO. She recently retired as the hospital's director of physician services. And a second top-level employee abruptly resigned from Juneau's Bartlett Regional Hospital late last week. Chief Behavioral Health Officer Bradley Grigg quit on Friday after 4 years with the city-owned hospital. In his resignation letter to the president of the hospital's board of directors, he wrote that his position is no longer a good fit due to, quote, personal issues. Grigg's letter came just after a resignation from CEO Rose Lawhorn. She left her role and was subsequently fired for having an inappropriate relationship with a subordinate employee. City Manager Rory Watt declined to comment on whether the two are related. Grigg's resignation comes at a time when the hospital is inundated with behavioral health patients. He was also helming a $14 million expansion of the Behavioral Health Department building. The volunteer-run hospital board will meet on Friday to discuss a plan for hiring a permanent CEO. It's unclear whether the interim CEO, Kathy Callahan, or the yet-to-be-hired permanent CEO will hire Grigg's replacement. Scientists at the University of Alaska Fairbanks will use new funding from NASA to track snowfall across the state. KUAC's Mary Auld reports.
It's no secret that Alaska's interior and Arctic regions see a lot of snow. However, UAF researcher Sveta Stuifer says the amount of snow on the landscape is a mystery in most of the state.
It's really amazing that snow plays such a big role in our everyday lives, yet we know we don't really have a good representation of snow on the ground.
Stuifer is an associate professor in the Department of Civil, Geological, and Environmental Engineering at UAF. She was recently awarded funds from NASA for a research project she hopes will generate detailed maps of the amount of snow normally present across the state of Alaska. More specifically, researchers will devise a method for determining the distribution of snow water equivalent across the state. That's the amount of water snow yields when it melts. Understanding snow across a vast region like the state of Alaska isn't easy.
The difficult part is that we can measure snow very well at the point, or we can get a good representation of relatively small areas.
But it would take far too much time and money to measure the snow water equivalent at every point in the state. That's why Stuifer's study will use modeling and remote sensing to understand snow across the large state. But why does the amount of snow on the ground matter?
Snow affects our life in many ways. We use it for recreation. It affects our driving conditions.
scientists need information about snow to understand the water cycle. A large portion of the precipitation that falls on the region is snow. When temperatures warm, that snow melts and is released into the water cycle. And in Alaska, snow impacts development and road construction. Stueffer says the study will provide urgently needed information.
So this question has been around for a long time.
Stueffer said snow research is getting a lot of attention in recent years. NASA created the SNOW-X research program to generate information about snow and the water cycle around the globe. That's in part because snow distribution is changing as a result of climate change. Stueffer's study will coincide with NASA's SNOW-X research in Alaska. She's excited about this golden age of snow research.
I'm thrilled. I'm really happy that NASA selected snow research for funding.
For KUAC, I'm Mary Auld.
Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson's commander declared a public health emergency Friday due to high rates of COVID-19 infection in Anchorage. J-Bear officials are urging military members to avoid places that don't require masking, social distancing, or other COVID-19 mitigation measures, according to a written statement. If the situation gets worse, the statement says, commanders will take additional measures to protect military personnel, and that could include restricting access to off-base establishments. The 673rd Air Base Wing and J-Bear Commander Air Force Colonel Kristen Aguilar said in a statement that the emergency declaration reflects the, quote, continued reality of sustained community transmission of COVID-19. Vaccinations against the virus are required for military members under an order from Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin last month, but different branches have different deadlines. For the Air Force, the deadline is November 2nd, and for the Army, it's December 15th. That's the latest from the KTOO Newsroom.